Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur. Is it Monday? Like Thursday? Maybe Wednesday? I don't know. All I know is Rob Kroon just got back from duck hunting, and we've got to pretend like it's Monday. Rob,
hey,
what's up?
Good morning. Feels like a Monday. Everything's good in the hood.
All right, so let's begin it out like this. Let's go and get our Ole Miss woes out of the way. Let's start with the Vanderbilt game and the A.J. Brown catch. Was it a catch, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
It wasn't even close. I think when it went back to the SEC offices in Birmingham, I think it got overturned there.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. I mean, you know, the thing is that nobody cares about Vanderbilt and nobody cares about Ole Miss except for Ole Miss fans. And Vanderbilt fans don't even care about themselves or the school because they have a $190,000 education. And so it really doesn't matter. They're like, yeah, whatever, football. I mean, it really didn't matter. The thing is, like, Vanderbilt professors are pissed because their football coach makes so much money. So nobody really cared. So for that to go down, it's obvious that the SEC was like, hey, we have a team that cannot go to a bowl. We've already crapped on them. So let's just let Vanderbilt have a chance. Maybe they'll beat Tennessee and they can be bowl eligible. Or at least they'll give one team a chance to be bowl eligible.
Yeah, that's the whole deal behind it. Listen, all right, let's play this out. He catches the ball. He comes down on 2 feet. I'm going to play it out, paraphrasing it. He tucks the ball in. He falls backwards and lands probably three-quarter of the way on the side of his ass and his leg. And he stretches his arm out. He's still holding on to the ball as he's laying on the ground. The defensive back rolls over him, grabs the ball, and knocks it out. According to the rules, when he tucked that ball and brought it into his chest while still standing with both feet in the end zone, it was a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you watched the pro game last night, the Rams had the same exact thing happen, and it wasn't even like a question. And look, I know it's rigged. I took Kansas City. Everybody had the line at 3.5. I took it at 3. Final score is 54-51. You tell me they don't know.
How sweet was that over, though?
I wish I would have had it. I was kind of scared, man. I kind of thought, like, it was kind of like the obvious play. And sometimes, you know, when it's, like, so obvious, smack you in the face, that they end up being, like, 21-20 or something. And then you're like, man. And so, like, I didn't even, like, seriously, I didn't even think about playing the total. I was like, I'm going to take Kansas City because I don't think the Rams' defense is that good. And so I took Kansas City, and I still believe Kansas City is a better team because it was in L.A. But I took Kansas City, and everywhere else, like, all the other betting sites had it at 3.5. Mine had it at 3, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to take +3. And whatever. So I'd been hunting, you know, whatever, for 3 or 4 days in a row. And I got to be about halftime. My eyes are crossing. I was like, man, I'm going to bed. And I woke up at 5:12. And I looked at my phone and saw 54-51. And I was like, you have to be kidding me. Like, I just missed the best game, the best NFL regular season game ever.
oh, listen, I don't get into NFL ball. There's only a few couple of teams that I will get into, the Packers, the Patriots, the Saints, the Cowboys. I'll get into a few teams. Those two are neither on my list. I'm sitting there watching that game. I said, this is one of the greatest football games ever. So back and forth. Offense. There was, you know, not much defense. I'll say this. See if you agree with this. The NFL needed that game from the past two or three years where they've been.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the thing was is that towards the end, obviously I just told you I went to sleep at halftime, well, a little bit maybe before, but I called up on it and read everything and went through the whole game, you know, everything I do for every game. And I was like, holy crap, the Chiefs let them score to get the ball back. Did you realize that? In the second half, in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs, instead of trying to bow up and play defense, they let them score to have more time. That's how good their offenses were playing. So I hope that that's a Super Bowl rematch. I hope that that's the Super Bowl, because you don't get that. That's not something you get every day.
I have zero against Patrick Muhammad. How do you say his last name? Muhammad? I think that's how you say it.
He's a grandkid of Last of Mohicans.
I think he's having a heck of a year. Don't get me wrong, but I think last night finally silenced the critics when it comes to MVP talk of the league. Is there, to me, there is no doubt as of right now, a 41-year-old Drew Brees is running like a Porsche with 20,000 miles on it. He's unstoppable.
Drew Brees is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Like, even ESPN has started playing those commercials again where he's riding the float and he can't get through the gate. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
He's driving into, like, ESPN headquarters. He's like, I can't get through. It's too wide. And he's in the float. It was, like, from 5 years ago, and they're starting to air it again because he's so awesome. I mean, the dude throws bullets. He's better than both of those guys. If Sean McVay or the big fat guy with the mustache that I'm jealous of, Andy Reid, if they had him, they would win every game.
It's so alone. When it comes to the talk show host, about the one that's really pushing this as being a contest, it's along racial lines. And I'm not jumping off into that by any means. But there's no way you don't hand that trophy over to Drew Brees when it's over.
Well, they keep adding a receiver, an older receiver, and I don't know why they're doing that. Obviously, they have their own reasons. But if the Saints don't go to the Super Bowl, then, I mean, somebody just beat them because they are stupid good.
Well, the thing, you know, on that team, they don't have but one actual drafted receiver that got drafted. All the rest of them were free agents. What do you call them? Unrestricted free agents?
Yeah, but they got that Thomas kid they got. Him and Breeze are connected on. They said this. I heard some of Trico or somebody the other day was like, their completion ratio is so high that you couldn't do that in the backyard.
The thing to me is about that team, it's not that their offense is just going out and scoring a ton of points when it comes to running the ball, when it comes to passing the ball, but the defense isn't allowing the gap. You know, winning these games 48-7 this past weekend.
That's true. You have the best point. And you do this sometimes in these football things. You have the best point. New Orleans Saints has the best defense of any of the teams that are good enough to compete. And that's the bottom line. Like, you're not going to score 51 points against the Saints. It's not going to happen. And remember when the Saints, like, after the Hurricane, like, I've always liked the Saints. Like, I don't have an NFL team. I just bet on NFL. Like, one week to another, like, I like the Titans, but whatever. You know, I'm not like, oh, the Titans. But I bet on, like, one week I'll bet on Saints, the next week I'll bet against them. I don't care. But I love the NFL because it's so fast and so everything. Halftime's 15 minutes. It's not an hour and 30 minutes. But watching the Saints, man, like, especially after the Hurricane when they won the Super Bowl, like, it's amazing. And their defense is so good right now. Like, you don't want any of that.
Heck,
it's
no.
It's going to be awesome.
You know the story behind Drew Brees? When Drew Brees left San Diego, he did a he went to Miami, and guess who the coach was at Miami to do up? Good Lord, I'm losing my mind tonight. To do a physical with Miami,
Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze. You know the answer to this question. Who was the coach of the Miami Dolphins when Drew Brees left the San Diego Chargers?
You know what? It was probably Dave Winstead.
Great guess, but it was actually Nick Saban.
Wow, I forgot. You know what? When you said that, I was going to tell you that I forgot that Drew Brees even played for San Diego, because I honestly did. Like, I really forgot about all of that. And I also forgot that Nick Saban even coached the Dolphins.
Can you imagine if he would have passed his physical in Miami and played for Nick Saban? Nick Saban still be in the NFL?
Man. Well, I'm glad he's not, because I sure love these halftime bets.
First quarter, first half.
And also, I need to say this real quick, because I had some people acknowledging me on Duck's House. I did not condone first half, first quarter against Citadel. If you played it, I'm sorry. You're still up for the year. And if you robbed grandma's cookie drawer, I'm sorry. But you don't play that bet. Like, that's not a game that they're, like, this week is where we make our money. But that, we'll save that for later.
Hey, I got a rumor. Stick around on football just a minute. There is a rumor floating around that has, it's got to be a lot of truth in it, that the coach that we love and we want to see, especially at Ole Miss, Mike Leach, wants to come to the SEC to prove himself.
I'm going to tell you, Rocky, and I'm going to say this on air, and I don't want people to think I'm weird. I would give anything for Mike Leach to be the Ole Miss football coach. Anything. Whatever they want, come and get it. Besides my wife and my kids, you can have it. Whatever. I would do any. He is the most impressive person in the entire universe. And I've been saying that for years. I'm not just saying that now. I've been saying that. I mean, the first time we interviewed him, we should have hired him, but, I mean, I don't know if he would have come. The guy is a magician.
Get what he wants. Look, I'm on the side of when it comes to the Ole Miss coaching staff. See, I think that this is the year, if you're going to get rid of a coach, this is the year to do it. Nobody else is hiring. You got tons of money in the bank. I love Matt Luke to death. Don't get me wrong. Great guy. Loves Ole Miss. But this is the year to hire a coach. Nobody's firing a coach.
But if Ross Warwick wants to, if he wants to do it, this is his time. See, the thing is, everybody hates Ross. I really actually like the guy. I think he's really, really good. And I think that if he wants to do it, this is his time. Throw $4 or $5 million at the guy a year. And who cares what happens? He could take a kid. He could take anybody. He can take any offense and make it incredible, just like Freeze. Let the guy do it.
I'll say this. This is the number I'm going to throw at you real quick. All right. So in the past 2 years, Matt Luke's interim year and his first full year, we've lost a total of close to 30% of season ticket sales. That's 12,000 tickets from 42, so that leaves it at 30. They're expecting a 20% decrease next year. So that'd be another, what would that be? Good grief. Another 6,000 tickets, so you'll be down to 24,000 season ticket holders at Ole Miss.
So, yeah, and 8,000 of them are students.
So 24 from 42 is 18. All right, and let's just say the average cost of a ticket is, $650. What would that be?
Bajillion?
What did I can't even remember what I said. 24,000. So, boom. Run this up on the calculator. 18,000. The average cost of $650. That's a loss of $11 million.
Well,
or right at 12.
Right. I mean, if I was the head fundraiser at South Panola, I could raise that per year.
Yeah, you could. There's a tire company over there that loves to give to.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, look, it's like these teams, everybody, the SEC has so much money. Like, we're not going to go to a bowl game. We're still going to get $13 million just for being in the SEC. Let's be honest here. Obviously, at some point, I feel like we're talking, like, I feel like Jerry Maguire, like, just show me the money. Like, why are we, like, what happened? Like, how do we get to this point? Like, everybody knows it's about money. Everybody knows that. Like, what are we saving for? Christmas? Are we trying to, like, why are we saving money with Matt Luke? And, like, what, just do it.
I think the fan base is at or near apathy right now. There's no more anger. They don't see any momentum on the field. They see it going backwards. Look, you lost a lot of players on defense, so that's, you can see that. Let me say this. Everybody's screaming to hire new coordinators. Okay? Do you agree with that?
It's not the coordinator. No, it's not the coordinator.
If you go
actually, the crime dog is actually, the defense is playing better.
I agree with you. You tell me what coordinator that you can hire in college football that will put butts in the seats?
Rob Kroom, Greasem Outfitters.
I'll tell you two people right now that if you hire as head coaches, they put butts in the seats automatically. Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin.
Oh, boy. Please don't.
I'll take either one of them.
Look, it's duck season, and I'm already happy as a person can get. Don't even get in my head that we have a possibility of getting Leach and Kiffin. I would get – oh, whoa. You have entered a whole new level of fandom. I would lose my mind. But let's be honest, Kiffin, he's on the beach. Like, I don't know if he's still with Layla, but there's a lot of Laylas in Oxford. If you could somehow get Lane Kiffin to Oxford, I don't even care if you get him. Oh, my God. Woo!
A single Lane Kiffin in Oxford, boy, I'd be.
Boy. You, I don't know where you came up with this, and I hope it's not a rumor, but I would take either one as a head coach right now, and if we could get both, that would be the daily double, and I might faint.
Let's play this out. Let's play this scenario out. The fan base and all the poking that goes on from Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Can you see or hear, just imagine what either one of those two would say back?
Oh. See, well, the thing is, too, is that the State fans need, they know that they're going to suck soon. When they lose Mullins players and when we lose Hughes players, we're both going to suck. And they know that. They may be like, ah, where you got my? Moorhead looks like a freaking goon. Like, if I saw that guy trying to beat me into a hole in the woods, I would swap his boat, pull his plug, and take his kill switch. I mean,
he looks like you wouldn't have to worry about him shooting you. I think he'd hit you. He looks like when he wears his glasses, he looks like a real intellect.
Oh, he's an intellect, all right. That's the worst hire that I can remember in the SEC since Don Shula's son, Mike, or what was that other guy? One of the Tennessee hires. It wasn't Butch Jones. Who was one of the terrible ones before him? Between Kiffin and Butch.
Who does he look like, though? He kind of looks like that guy that used to be on Beavis and Butthead. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah. Look, if that dude walked in your house and you had an 18-year-old son that could play anywhere in the country, and he walked in your house with that goofy-ass face of his, would you say that's where he's got to go? Like, what could he say to convince you that that's where you need to go to school? And look, people can say all they want about, oh, looks don't matter. Yep. Oh, what? The dude looks like the guy off the Goonies.
That's it. That's it. Right there. You let Lane Kiffin follow him on official coaches, the head coaches visit. Who's getting the guy?
Oh, it's not even close. And, when you said that about Kiffin and Leach, like, I kind of scoffed. I kind of was like, my head started hurting because I was so, like, I kind of got flush, actually. But I started thinking about it, like, dude, Kiffin could bring Chris Kiffin back to Oxford. It'll be Lane Kiffin, offensive coordinator, Chris Kiffin, defensive coordinator. We wouldn't lose a game ever.
Just got to make sure Chris Kiffin doesn't have any couches in his house. It's a problem letting players sleep on the couches.
Look, here's my thought. Cheat till it gets caught and then cheat again. I mean, if you want to compete, you want to be on game day, you want to be, like, relevant, cheat. You got to. Like, you're not going to get away with this Dabo Sweeney, like, oh, I want you to be here. I want you to be with me. Whatever, dude. You're in the ACC, man. You're playing Virginia. Get out. I mean, Georgia Tech. Watch one of their games.
What about Notre Dame fans chanting and beating on the sidewalls of the stadium, "We want Bama"?
I would love to see that because I would make so much money that I probably could quit my job.
That hadn't worked out too well for a lot of teams that yelled that, "We want Bama." Nick Saban, he didn't take that too well.
No, Notre Dame better calm down because their little lucky leprechaun ain't going to do real well against Bama. Remember how they did against LSU about, 6 years ago? I bet so hard on LSU. Everybody's like, oh, Notre Dame, they're incredible. I was like, okay, I'll take LSU -4. I took LSU first quarter, first half, third quarter, fourth quarter. I took them everywhere I could take them. They completely destroyed. It was like 57-4.
What year was it that they played Alabama in the national championship in 12 or 11, somewhere in there?
Notre Dame?
Mm-hmm.
No, that was LSU.
No, Notre Dame played Alabama. The quarterback, the linebacker that's played for New Orleans now was on that Notre Dame team. He came out he was homosexual or something like that.
Are you talking about the catfishing guy?
The week of the game, something happened.
Yeah, it was the catfishing guy.
And he said, no, I'm gay. That wasn't me. Whatever.
Oh, no. You've been reading into some deep stuff, Rocky.
All right, hey, let's get away from football. We've got to jump into something else. But before we do, I want to hear about the weekend. Tell me about the duck hunting.
Man, it was great, man. We had some of the most beautiful butterballs. The thing is, like, everybody's all about this. Let me tell you, them butterballs come flying through that spread. They sound like a jet. And then they were buckling in real hard close because they wasn't ready to get shot at. I don't think anybody shoots at them but me. Man, it was beautiful. We killed some of the prettiest butterballs you've ever seen in your life. It was awesome. Awesome. It was great. And I got skunked on butterballs on Monday, and I know my Chris was mad, and Spencer Halford, they were with me, and I apologize for that. I these are migrating birds, and I'm sorry about that, but it was incredible. We got after them hard for 2 days, and then the third day they just kind of let us down. Today the wind was blowing a little bit more, and we got us a couple more, but man, those butterballs, they get me going.
So who was all over there hunting with you? Did y'all film any of them?
No, we don't film on nothing today. It's hard to hide those possession limits, you know, when you film. Just ask Phil Robertson about that. So we don't film on nothing today. We usually wait till about the third or fourth day to start filming, you know.
Well, I heard a lot of people had a lot of good hunts. Saturday more so than Sunday. It sounded like it got a little tougher on Sunday. Same, you know, not that many less birds. They were just harder to work on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we got that cold snap at the perfect time. And, you know, everybody had a lot of ducks and everybody's all excited and everything. But the bottom line is November in Arkansas usually is a hangout, drink beer with your buddies week. We did really good because, you know, obviously we have pecans in the hole, but, you know, when it boils down to it, it's really just kind of like a short opener. I mean, everybody wants to see. It's so funny when you hear these dudes that have been duck hunting for 2 years. They're like, they ought to leave the season open in March. I'm like, it is open, you dumbass. It's taxidermy season. But anyway, back to what I was saying, you know, it is what it is. You gotta get out there and hunt them when you hunt them. And, you know, we had a good time, man. The butterballs, they get me fired up. I can't tell you how excited I get when I hear that jet fuel coming through the air. You know, it's like when you hear that warning, then they get to hauling, just I get so fired up. Man, I get excited.
Well, I noticed that you changed the cover photo for your Facebook page, but it looks like it's an old photo with the leaves still on trees. I thought it may have been from this season. You know, I'm not. What is it like hunting with those leaves on the trees like that?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things, Rocky. You just gotta make a commitment and stick with it. You know, rules are just suggestions.
You've had some Tupelo guns that'll still be holding some leaves over here in Mississippi, but nothing. Nothing as beautiful as that. I saw where Jake put out a video, and I saw a bunch of pictures from different people that, man, it's unbelievable. It's beautiful to kill ducks here like that.
Yeah, I mean, when you can trick them into coming in with leaves on trees, I mean, that's when that's a whole different deal.
All right, so you come back home to – all right, let's get into this real quick. Don't have a lot of time left, but you come back home to a little bit of a – just lay it all out for us.
All right. Yeah. So, me and my wife bought this house a few years ago. Right. Let's see. 9 years ago now. We've been living here and all our neighbors know us, you know, and we're not like the best neighbors, but I mean, we just, you know, I mow the yard about every 3 weeks and, you know, sometimes I walk out to my truck in my underwear. Sometimes I pee in the yard. You know, we don't have a fence. It's one of those, like, neighborhoods where, like, if you have a fence, it's kind of shunned upon. which is weird for me because I like a fence, but it's one of those like neighborhoods where everybody, like, you know, you're supposed to like have, you know, hang out, and there's a neighborhood pool and all this stuff, you know, which I don't have any part in any of that crap. But anyway, so a few years ago, this couple moved in with their family up the road, and they're right on the, corner. Like, they're right at the stop sign at the end of my neighborhood. I live on a cove. Like, it's not like I live on the Indy 500. But anyway, so I was minding my own business one night, and I came home and I parked, and everything was cool, and this cop pulled in my driveway, and I'm like, this is weird. Like, you know, I thought it was one of my buddies messing with me, and I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, you know, I was just checking on you because your neighbor said you was doing 55 and you're on your street. And I was like, I'll tell you what, buddy, why don't you go back to the stop sign and see if you can get to 55 from there to my house? I'll tell you what, how about you go back to the main road and see if you can get 55 to my house? So anyway, so obviously that couldn't be done because it's impossible unless you're Dale Earnhardt and he's dead. He's not, well, actually, he's not dead. He's one lap ahead. But anyway, So the cop leaves, and, you know, I told him, like, man, you know, I think it's a misunderstanding. Well, what happened was my neighbor that's a buddy of mine, his son drives one of those little Fast and Furious cars, and he does drive 50, I think. I don't know how fast he goes. But anyway, it makes a hell of a racket. He does the wah, you know. So I knew it was his fault, and I told him, I said, Mike, you know, your son, you know, and he's slow it down. Like, he was actually hauling around my house too. And I mean, whatever. I didn't care. You know, he's only going through sets of tires. Well, anyway, so that was kind of in the back of my mind. And, you know, I'm a real forgiving person. You know, when I'm at church, I pray for myself, you know, to make sure that I, you know, forgive and try and be more like a Christian person and not hold grudges and stuff like that. But about 18 to 24 months after that, I flipped them off when I went by their house every day, going to work, coming home from work. When I went hunting.
We go from praying to flipping off.
I prayed to Jesus and my Lord and Savior that he could, you know, forgive me because I have sins, and I would flip them off on the way to work, on the way home from work, and then when I would go hunting in the morning, like, sometimes I leave for Arkansas at like 3. So when I would go by their house, I would make all kinds of racket and do things I shouldn't do. And, you know, and I told Jesus I was sorry and that I shouldn't have did that, but I didn't care. And I don't think I'm going to go to hell for that. But anyway, so I hate these people. I hate them. So anyway, so after the whole cop incident, they sent me a friend request on Facebook. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know their names. They had just moved in the neighborhood. Well, so I get this friend request on Facebook, which I'm like, whatever, you know. And then I get like a LinkedIn connection request. And I'm like, this is weird. So I look at the dude's profile and I'm like, yeah, we're not going to connect. So anyway, that goes on. And like, I seriously got mad. And my wife, Liz, was like, man, look, like, you know, they have a camera on their mailbox. Like, they know you're flipping them off. And, like, it wasn't just like a flip off. Like, I would roll the window down in middle school football. So they made sure they knew it was me. And anyway, I don't want to sound like a bad neighbor or bad Santa or something. But anyway, so it's been kind of eating at me for a while. And, you know, I watched their kids grow up, obviously, you know, while I was flipping them off and stuff like that. But they... tonight I pulled in my driveway. I've been at work, you know, I went hunting and I went to work. I was tired, grumpy, all that, you know, when you've been hunting 3, 4, 5 days and you're just kind of tired and you don't want to take no, you know, trash from nobody. Anyway, when I was in Stuttgart this weekend, a guy told me, he came up, he said, Rob, he said, you know what? I said, what? He said, you just keep doing what you're doing. He said, but don't take no shit from nobody. I said, yes, sir, I won't. So anyway, I guess that's what inspired me. And anyway, I turn on my street. I've been out to eat with one of my buddies, you know, and bought him dinner. He's going through a tough time. bought him dinner. Turned on my street. When I turned on my street, it looked like somebody was trying to wave a FedEx plane into a parking spot. It was this dude and his wife and their ugly, fat golden retriever. And I realized who it was. I was like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. And I had to have been doing at least 23 miles an hour. Maybe. No, I was probably doing about 17, between 17 and 23 miles an hour. And they were flagging me like I was running the Indy 500, you know, like I was fixing to kiss the bricks and drink some milk. So anyway, so I'm a little pissed off at this point because I'm like, man, you know, like, at this point,
yeah, more deal with
this. Yeah, y'all know what I drive. I mean, you know who I am. Like, at this point, let's, you know, I thought we were over this, is how I felt. You know? I thought it, excuse me, I had to get a little sip of beer there, Rob. So I thought at this point, I thought, you know, we're over this. We've moved past this. Well, apparently not. So, I walked inside, being the gentleman I am, and my wife was helping my kids with their homework, and I walked inside, and I said, hey, Liz, did you get the mail? And Liz gets the mail, I'm telling you, I promise you, she gets the mail like 90 to 95% of the time. So, like, it was a rhetorical question, but she fired back with, you know what? No, I didn't get it today. And I was like, bingo, got them. So, I calmly, without telling her, because I know she'd get mad, I calmly walk outside and I wait. I pause because they were walking their dog towards my house. And I knew that they would be there in about a minute and a half. So I kind of, you know.
Whoa, stop this just a second. So they're trying to slow you down as you turn into the neighborhood, right?
They live on the corner at the stop sign, at the T.
Right. But as they were flagging you or waving at you, they were trying to tell you that you need to slow down as you came in the neighborhood?
They weren't saying, hey, I'll put it that way. It's like getting flipped off by somebody and you're like, were they saying you're number one? No, I don't think so.
All right, so you try to time this out perfectly. Let me just give you a piece of advice. Don't ever trust anybody that owns a golden retriever.
It's not a... Like, this one is like a bleach white golden retriever. It's not even a real golden retriever. It's like a silver lab. So, I passed them, and I knew what was up. And when Lizzie gave me the go-ahead green light that she hadn't checked the mail, I was like, holy shit, I've hit the jackpot. This is it. I've got it. So, so I eased outside, like, no big deal, you know. And I knew they were coming, so I kind of walked to the edge, and I got these hedges up. My neighbor's house is themselves, their blinds are open. So I kind of peeked through, and I saw them coming. I was like, I got them. And anyway, it's been a long time since we've met each other face-to-face or even talked to each other because we never have. And anyway, I saw them coming. I was like, this is it. This is it. So anyway, being the good, wholehearted, calm, well-rested person I am, I slowly start walking to the mailbox at a pace that they are slowly walking towards my house. And I get down there, and I start thinking to myself, Lord Jesus, please help me not be mean. But anyway, obviously, whatever happened between the house and the mailbox got distraught. And the guy says, hey, man, how are you? Anyway, so when he said that, I opened my mailbox and I grabbed the mail. And as I'm grabbing the mail, I look back and look at him and his wife. And I think at that point, they realized that I wasn't going to say, like, hey, how are you? Or hope you had coffee this morning, or hope you have a great day tomorrow, or how are your kids, or, you know, like any of that. Anyway, I said, how about you go run off and yourself. And I turned around and walked off, and as I was walking off, I just kind of turned around and watched to see what they were saying. And the wife understood exactly what I said. The the husband didn't get it. I guess he didn't hear me, and I'm a pretty quiet, laid back, real calm, collective person. So I'm sure he didn't hear me, and I'm sure I said it real soft. But anyway, so I saw her talking to him, and next thing you know, they kind of picked up their speed a little bit down the road. But hopefully, I get me a LinkedIn private connection in the morning, or a Facebook Instant Messenger. It's that or the police are going to show up here. I don't know. But I hate them. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If they're listening right now, I hope you have a shitty Christmas, horrible Christmas. And I hope that all your kids get crappy gifts and they all have no batteries and you have to go to Walgreens at 4 in the morning on the 26th and get them batteries.
So I'm going to take it that when you came back in and told Liz about the meeting at the mailbox, it didn't probably go over too well with her, did it?
That was at about that was about an hour and 15 minutes ago, and she hasn't spoken with me since. I'm pretty sure that she hates me, but on the same hand, I mean, I know she has to love me somewhere in her heart, because I'm a lot to deal with, but she's a lucky lady.
I'm going to tell you something. I really look forward to the day of us getting together and having some fun together. I really look forward to the day of meeting your wife.
Yeah,
she is going to be a hell of a woman.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's a really, really awesome. She's a good one. But I mean, they deserved it. Like the look that she gave me, like I was like, "What? They deserve it." And she was like, "Why would you do that? Like it's been 5 years." I'm like, "It doesn't matter." Anyway, every time I pass their house, I get upset. I tell you what, we're fixing to do. We're fixing to move. We're fixing to find a house somewhere else. She's been wanting to move anyway. She deserves it. And the thing I think about, like, during the whole thing, remember in Christmas Vacation when the chick from Seinfeld and her boyfriend get all upset with, like, the whole thing?
That's who they're like. They're kind of like them?
Yeah, that's this lady. I'm telling you. Like, the husband I don't know about because I never see. He just looks like a dorky, normal, you know, husband that works, you know, 8 to 5 at the hospital. You know, he's not a doctor, but he has like an administrative job. And he's just trying to, like, you know, put up with her crap, basically. And she's one of those people like Julia, whatever, Lewis, whatever. She's just like, she can't, you know, like her hobby is to piss me off. And she's done it. And I think she realized tonight, finally, after all these years, that enough is enough. And if they think I won't crank up this Boss 40 EFI that I have when I leave my house and put a rubber band around the throttle and let it sing to the Eagles the whole way by their house, then she's crazy. I don't have dual pipes and glass packs on my truck, but I'll get them.
Still haven't, but it helps.
Like, all my neighbors around me are totally cool. Everybody's awesome. Like, I can name them. Like, we're all cool. Like, we do our own thing. Like, some of my back neighbors are Tennessee fans, and they hoop and holler over Tennessee games. And, like, we're all cool. Like, there's no fences. It's like Garth Brooks, you know, back in the day. Like, we're all cool with each other, but it's this one couple, man.
You need to invite them over for dinner.
No. No, we're past that.
So I keep thinking about this white golden retriever.
He's completely white. Like, he's just, like, he has no chance. And the thing is, like, I respect the dude. Like, he's always got his kids out there raking leaves. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Like, keep up the good work, you know?
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, don't ever trust anybody that has a golden retriever.
You know what? We should pray for that dog because he has to live with that redheaded woman that lives up the
Oh, place. My God, dude. Why didn't you start this story off saying that she was a redhead?
She's a redhead. And you know what?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's a tough cookie, man. I hope she has a good time. I bet she can't even sleep at night thinking how bad she hates me.
I can't think of one single redhead I'd want to be with.
I bet you $1,000 she went to Mississippi State. No, seriously, I wouldn't even put that on Estes, my buddy. I think she went to probably like a small Christian college somewhere, probably like something like a quarter of Baylor. And she probably found him on Christian Mingle. And now she's out to kill people. And I'm her first victim.
She should have started this whole story off saying she was a redhead. That is no apology to anybody that's listening to this that has a redheaded wife. I don't care. They are nuts. They're going to get you one of these days.
Well, there's a difference in a strawberry blonde and a redhead.
Oh, definitely. Big time.
He's a full-blooded redhead. Like
Irish descent.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, I'll be using again. I'm back for a couple of days. I'm going to take care of a couple of things and then head back over to Arkansas on Thursday.
Yep, it is the annual get the tree out of the attic. Isn't it? What day is that? Wednesday or Thursday?
No. We're going to do that Thursday, hopefully in the morning time. I'm going to try to make sure Liz is happy with everything. She's already gotten some things I didn't know about, but she didn't get them out of the attic. She bought them, and she's already put them up, and they look really nice. And I'm proud of her. She's really good at this stuff. And I'm going to go up in the attic probably Thursday morning sometime, hopefully about, 8, 9 o'clock, and get some stuff down and go ahead and get that going. Because she deserves it. I mean, really, honestly, I mean, you know, Spencer always says that Liz is a national treasure, and she is. So I'm going to go ahead and get that stuff down, you know, sometime tomorrow or sometime Thursday, and hopefully I'll get everything set up where I can go. I'm probably going to leave sometime Thursday. You know, if anybody wants to get dinner with me, I think Sportsman's is closed, but the Matco there with the chicken strips and the pizza rolls and egg rolls, they'll be open. So anybody wants to get dinner, I'll be around.
All right. Well, Rob, I have enjoyed it. A lot of good discussion. Here's to hoping Mike Leach comes to the SEC and to Ole Miss. I think him or Lane Kiffin, either one. Before we head off for the holidays.
Yeah, you better be thankful.
Hey, favorite food on Thanksgiving?
Honestly, lamb chops and lima beans.
Look, where did the lamb chops come from? I never knew that was part of the Thanksgiving feast.
My grandmother used to drink a lot, and she would make us stuff and forget she made it. And she... She used to make killer lima beans, dude. I'm talking about, like, you would eat them like they were crack. And anyway, one Thanksgiving, she made lamb, which was amazing. Like, it was perfectly cooked and everything was good. She had dressing and turkey for all the people that were gay and didn't like lamb. And anyway, so I had lamb. I was about 8. And I called her Money. That was my grandmother's name. And I said, Money, I love these lima beans, but they're cold. And she said, what? I said, I love these lima beans, but they're cold. She had served the lima beans frozen and didn't know it because she was too tipsy. So anyway, RIP Monday, she was awesome. I miss that woman. But yeah, anyway, yeah, so I had frozen lima beans and lamb for Thanksgiving in 1987. And I'll never forget it. So. He was awesome, man. I'm telling you, you know, everybody remembers all the good and bad times. I'm telling you, she was awesome.
All right. Well, I've enjoyed it. Happy Thanksgiving. I want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.